Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. I tell you, so many things going on this morning, talking, and actually almost over-talked my time to sign in. I had everything ready on the switchboard, and all of a sudden, I'm doing something else. Thank God for Jesus to keep us straight. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am Dr. Bessie, and I am your host here on the round at the Roundtable on Blog Talk Radio with mothers and daughters from around the world. I'm literally saying around the world. When you're on the internet, it's no telling who pops up. I just want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule this morning to join us. I'm excited about the day. It's Mother's Day weekend. How fitting is that? Mother's Day weekend. This is a weekend when everybody, I mean everybody, thinks about their mother. Whether they call them, go see them, and you know the lines are going to be just jammed tight because if you don't ever do anything for your mother, some people just don't do it to Mother's Day. That's a shame, but that's what it is. They just, Mother's Day, they just want to make up for the whole year. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers around the world. Happy Mother's Day. But in my eyes, and the way I see it, every day is Mother's Day. But we'll take tomorrow as a day of honoring and remembering and appreciation. With that, Father God, I just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you for choosing us as mothers to be your lead in to come into this earth. Father God, I ask you this morning to touch every mother, every daughter, every father and son from around the world, because the whole makes your family, and the type of family is mainly dependent upon the mother. And so, Father God, I'm asking you to touch the mind of the mother, to renew the mind, and to realize the responsibility that you placed on us as you come and enter to do your work here on the earth. You can't do it without us, and we can't do it without you. I just thank you for choosing me for this assignment. I can't imagine anything else that I'd rather do. And even when I'm challenged, I know that I am going to listen to you, and I'm going to follow your lead. And with that being said this morning, I just want to say thank you, God. I appreciate you, and I thank you for Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that we will go forth and do your will, not our will. And I release myself to you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, it's a great day. You know, everybody's running around getting their hair done and nails done and getting ready for dinner tomorrow. I think it's exciting. I'm glad to be in the midst and here with the living. You know, a lot of us don't have our mothers with us today, but they are always with us in spirit. My mother's not on this side, but I'm constantly talking to her. I just feel her following me around. It's like that connectivity just doesn't leave because she's crossed over to another dimension. And it's still that bond. It's still that invisible bond that's connecting me with her. There's certain things that she's saying, certain things that she would do or say to me to not do. When I'm in certain situations, those words would pop back up in my head. You know, there were certain things she gave me as guidance. You know, don't do this. If this happened, do this. And even now, I have a daughter that have children and I have grandchildren. I still can hear my mother's voice when I'm entering into a situation. Or if I'm in a situation, how do I get out? I still can hear my mother's voice. And I would love to have that left here in the mind of my daughter. You have to build that relationship. It just doesn't happen. You know, sometimes my listeners say to me, well, Dr. Fletcher, you know, I wish my daughter and I had the type of relationship you and your daughter have. And I said, well, you can. All you got to do is make a decision and decide what type of relationship you want and do it. We're not so special. We have to work at our relationship because we have that human side. And sometimes, you know, that mother, the something want to come up out of me because, you know, that's the way we're raised. And I'm the mother and you're the child and I say it, you listen kind of a thing. But when you have a grown daughter that you're dealing with, you can't talk to them the same way. Now they're an adult. They have children. They know the role. So you have to approach it differently. So when I say that, when I find that myself, I find myself getting into that motherly role, do as I say and not as I do or whatever, I have to back up. And remember, she's a grown lady. And this relationship is very important to me. I don't want ever a time that I'm not speaking to her or she's not speaking to me. Frankly, I could not live with that. That's not, I just can't. And I know sometimes that mothers, you are out there and the situations are different, you know, and you do all that you can do. But it seems like there's a distance between you and your daughter. A daughter, you're doing all that you can do, and it seems like there's a distance between you and your mother. But one thing I can tell you, you put it in God's hand, and you do all that you can do, and you live out of love, I guarantee you, one day the prodigal daughter will come home. She will come home. And you rejoice, you'll get the robe out, you'll put the ring on a finger, you'll kill the fatted calf, you'll have a party. It will come if you believe it. Whatever you say is what you're going to get. So as I constantly remind myself, what type of relationship do you want with your daughter? My relationship with my daughter, I want to be able to talk to her every day, every day. I want her to hear my voice. I want to hear her voice. And we are knowing that, you know, we have to give when it comes to our opinions because sometimes it might be a bad day for you and you may not realize that you're not in the best of mood to have conversations, not even with your daughter. Thank you, guys. There's a little noise in the background. I had to close my windows. All right, we're off and running this morning. I am excited again. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, here at the roundtables with mothers and daughters around the world. As I say, sit back, relax, get your favorite drink, get your pen and paper, because God is going to say something today that you might need to hear or repeat to yourself later, or it might be for someone else that you know, another mother and daughter. We are here as our brother's keepers. And what does that mean? We're here to help each other get through from one moment to the other. So give them a call, text them, and ask them to call in. The number is 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078. They can listen to the show. If you want to have a conversation or want to say something today, it's open. Let's talk about our mothers. I'm going to give you the hint right now. Think of one thing that you just really loved about your mother. One thing. You know, we have no perfect mothers and we have no perfect daughters. So let's just put that over on the other side. So what we're going to do today, we're going to look at what's that one thing that you really loved about your mother. Okay? You click one, and I'll try to get to you when I get to the switchboard. Our stimulating topic this morning is my mother, my friend. That's right. My mother, my friend. Again, I'm your host for the newcomers. I know people popping on at all times. I'm Dr. Bessie, and I'm here at the roundtables with mothers and daughters around the world as we sit and talk about my mother, my friend, and what's the one thing that you remember about your mother, the one loving thing. If you want to email me, you can email me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number one, at gmail.com. Again, our stimulating topic is my mother, my friend, and that brings about something I wrote some time ago. But before I get ahead of myself, I want to thank my co-host, Cynthia Oliver. Cynthia won't be able to be with us today, and that's a rarity. She's usually with us every Saturday. And Frida Hunter, I don't know if she's on. She joins us for the roundtable on Saturday mornings when she can. And, of course, you know, you're my guest, and I can't do this without you. But I also want to thank our guests this morning. We have a young lady. Her name is Susan Weeks, and I'm excited about that. Susan and I have become very good friends and sisters in Christ, and just God is doing some wonderful things. It's just really, really wonderful. I thank God for her, and I just want to I'll get to you in a little bit, Susan. And you are going to enjoy her today. You really are. She's got this electrifying personality that comes across in the most positive way. When you walk away today from this radio program, you're going to leave in a high spirit. You're going to leave electrified, and you're going to leave on fire for God, as well as, wow, I can do this. I can do this. All right? And it's going to help you with your mother and daughter relationship. She's going to drop a few words on you. Before we get to that, let's talk about last week, our stimulating topic. And I'm going to make this very short so we can get on with the business for today. I know you're excited, and she has guests on, and we're not going to hold her very long. She's very busy, and I appreciate her taking the time to be our guest today. It's just an honor. Last week, we talked about the truth is it, mother. And that's all we need to say. The truth is it. There is nothing else but the truth. When you get to the truth, everything else falls in place. So we talked about, you know, your relationship. If you have a relationship and it's working out of lies and deceit, you're never really going to love the person that you're interacting with, your mother, your daughter, because you never really know the real person. And if you can't get to the real person, then you have an imitation of life. A few months ago, we talked about, it's about 7-8 months ago, we talked about imitation of life. And I went back and I looked at the movie. I always cry when I see that movie. I mean, it just, I don't care when I've seen it. I've seen it many times over the years. I went back and I pulled it up. In fact, Cynthia's husband gave me a copy of his. And I looked at the movie, and I challenged everybody to look at that movie. And I'm going to throw that back out there today. When you get a chance, go online and look at Imitation of Life. That movie will really bring you in perspective with your mother and daughter relationship, because you don't want to wait until that casket closed, and then all of a sudden the reality come. I shoulda, coulda, woulda, but you didn't. And now all of a sudden, you've got to live with these thoughts and memories past that moment. Like I tell most people, and I know most of you that have listened to me before have heard this, when my mother passed, my daughter and I did the eulogy. I said no one can speak for her like I can, because I knew her. My daughter is like her daughter. That's the only grand. I'm the only child. So there was a close bond there. And I had to do it, even though we cried. My daughter was 6 months pregnant. We was up there. We were crying. But we got through it because I had to do that to honor her, because no one knows my mother like I do. And that's what you have to feel. That's what you have to know, mothers and daughters. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't do that. And I'll tell you a little snippet of Cynthia's. I met Cynthia. The challenge was, Cynthia, you can't work with mothers and daughters and not speaking to your mother, not having a relationship with your mother. And I challenged her. Of course, she was like, who is this lady trying to tell me how to have a relationship with my mother? But she took the challenge, and she started going to see her mother. Her mother was just street 5, 10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and you're not seeing your mother. She took that challenge. She was taken from her mother at 17 months old. But she was back in the bed with her mother. She had 2 years with her, took the challenge. And she laid back in that bed with her mother for the last 6 months and heard her mother and got to know her mother and realized her mother was really a funny, witty lady and that she was back in that spot where she was when she was taken at 17 months. See, she went back and asked the question. I told her, you got to go back and ask the question. Don't believe what nobody else tells you about your mother or your daughter. Ask the question yourself. Get the answer from your mother. Get the answer from your daughter. And then forgive and move on. Because you can't go back and get the time you've lost. And that's my take on it today as we enter into our conversation for today. My mother, my friend. As I said earlier, I wrote an article that was published, and it brought about some conversation. And the article was, can a mother be her daughter's best friend? You can find the article, it's on the internet. You can put it on there, it's on Google. Can a mother be her daughter's best friend? And the controversy came from some saying, yes, a mother can be her daughter's best friend and should be her daughter's best friend. The other was, no, a mother shouldn't be her daughter's best friend. She should be her mother. So then they threw it back at me. I explained it in the article, but they threw it back at me. Well, Dr. Bessie, you know, for most of you that don't know, I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, and I do have an open practice. So my clients would challenge me and say, you know, how can I be her best friend? You know, I need her to know that I'm her mother. She knows you are her mother. Come on. She knows that. The best friend. Best friend and a mother and daughter relationship, what I would tell my clients is that it has boundaries. I'm my daughter's best friend. I would hope so. And she's mine. And that's the way we treat it, but I respect her as my daughter, and she certainly respects me as a mother. There are boundaries in a mother and daughter best friend relationship, and you just don't start that when the daughter is 12 or 15 years old. You start it from the time she's in your womb, in the belly. That's when you start that relationship, the boundaries when she enters into the earth realm, and you're teaching her and you're talking to her. You start then, and you won't have a problem. When she's 15, when she's 20, when she's 40, when she's 60, you won't have a problem. You won't have 65-year-old women don't want to take care of their 85-year-old or 90-year-old mother because, see, the boundaries were set. So today we're going to use the question, can a mother be her daughter's best friend, as our lead-in for our conversation today. And we're going to be speaking to mothers and daughters around the world with this question in our heads. And that brings us to our special guest, who is truly have been around the world. Her name is Susan Weeks. Susan has a best-selling book called Defying the Mob and is in the middle of a major production of her life. They are doing a movie on Susan, and I'm talking about A1 individuals participating in this movie. She is an executive director of 5 Chambers of Commerce. She is the founder and executive director of investment councils around the world. She doesn't do it here in the States. And I found out a lot about that last night in our conversation. It's interesting. She is the executive director of South Florida Business News, and she is the honoree of Woman of the Year for a Lifetime from Live Magazine. Now, that's the short version of Susan Weeks. But more importantly, she's a Christian, and she loves God with all of her heart. Every time we have a conversation, it's all about God. It's all about her relationship with God, her power through God. And you just feel so – she feeds my spirit. I'm out here – feeding and feeding and feeding, But God sent me someone that add to the menu for my life and my wisdom. So Susan is here today to share her wonderful memories about her mother. That's the topic. That's our reason for this season. And we're all going to share those thoughts about our mothers. So think of something. I know it don't take long. You should already have it. And don't be afraid to say it. So think of that one thing that you want to honor your mother with, even if she's not with you here on this side. And when I say that, I'm going to try to split the screen here and do some creative stuff. Let's see what we got going on. Let's welcome Susan to our conversation. Let me make sure I got this. Good morning, Susan.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Betsy. How are you?
I am fine. I'm good because I am mastering this switchboard here. They changed it up on me a few weeks ago, and so I just want to make sure I had you on. Thank you for taking the time to be our guest today.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm honored. I'm honored to be here and with you and all your listeners and all the mothers and daughters. Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, it's a blessing. They don't realize how blessed they are. What I want to do, and like I say, here at the roundtable, we are very relaxed. We just kind of let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. And so I'm not going to hold you to any strictness as far as time or anything. We have until 11 o'clock. So you're our guest, and we'll leave some time, maybe about 5 to 10 minutes for our guests to share their mother and daughter's stories. Other than that, tell us a little bit about you, Susan. I've heard some of the stories. I'm sure I'm going to hear some other things today. A little bit about your background, where you grew up, your experience with your mother as a child, a teenager, as an adult. And when you get through that, then I'll ask another. I don't want to overwhelm you with
all the questions. All right. That's a wonderful, easy subject that I love. I grew up with the most loving mother that anybody could imagine. I wish I had a blueprint for everything she did for me. She was sweet. She was loving. She was kind. I never heard her say a harsh word. She was our home and the church was her life and her family and her Lord. And I seriously doubt my mother ever had an unkind thought. She was just the most sweet, loving person you could ever know. And she spoon-fed me kindness and Southern hospitality and the golden rule. She taught me to be good to everybody, to find the good in everybody. I would say something about somebody, oh, they're so mean or they do this or do that. She said, no, you find the good and you talk about the good. And she would tell me nothing is impossible. She told me that every day, not with God, nothing is impossible, nothing. She taught me to be so positive. She absolutely spoon-fed me positivity. She would leave little pamphlets on my dressing table, by my bed, on the swing, on the front porch. Everywhere I sat down, there's a little positive pamphlet or verse or cliche. That's all I heard. I was raised with so much love. And our church, our little country church, is just an extension of our home. And so that's how I was raised. I was raised to be kind and loving and try to help everybody that was less fortunate and just to love. I was just taught to love. And, Betsy, I grew up, I was a legislative aide at the state capital of Georgia. I was introduced to a world of politics, and that was a world I knew nothing about and couldn't imagine the power. So then I was impressed by the power. I mean, this is something that I couldn't imagine. The world was really like this. And this led to something very dramatic and dark in my life. I had to deal with a toxic, abusive marriage, a serial bully. Domestic violence was putting it very mildly, but to make a long story short, I was in a world that there was no way out. There was absolutely no way out. And my mother, through this, would say, but I dedicated you to God before you were born. So so it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. But it was about 15 or 20 years of me not seeing my family, of me being stripped of my identity, of me not being able to be me. I could not be me. There was no way I could be me. That world did not accept being nice and kind and loving. So I knew I was in the wrong world, but there was no way out of it. But I'm not going to take up all your time with that, but it's I was number three in the world that went through what I went through with no way out. They're doing a play, a Broadway play on my life, on the pain that I lived through. They're doing a movie with major actors and actresses, and they're doing a TV series. But the real hero and the real survivor in this story is God. He created me to be who I am today. And he allowed me to go through what I did. But the whole time I was going through this, I had miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle with strangers coming to me. And the one thing that really got me through was my mother's voice and everything she had said to me as a child. Tiny little things she would do, sweet, loving things, sewing lace on my socks to match my dress for Sunday school, or picking out buttons, small things. When it would get so bad and so chaotic that my mind couldn't take it, I'd go back to the simple things she and I would do. I'd go back to picking flowers and making arrangements, or to playing the piano, or doing something so simple and so loving. My mother sat down by my bed every night as a child and read me a Bible story before I went to sleep. She also listened to me. She prayed with me. She listened to me. And that's what got me through. That's what got me through. And I've had people say, how on earth did you get through this? How did you get through it? I don't take medication. I've not had an aspirin. I'm not that tough. I really have a big heart, and I have a tender heart. So how I got through it with her strength and God's strength. And God sent strangers, absolute strangers to me, to tell me, you're not going to believe this, but God sent me to you. Well, after that happened, year after year after year, in the most critical of times, I did believe it. I did believe it. But it was my mother's love, it was her faith, it was her strength that got me through it, because there was no way through it. There was no way through what I went through, no human way through it. So I'm honored today, Dr. Betsy, to talk about my mother. I can't talk enough about her sweet, the real story, my real story is about my mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, her positive energy, she would just saturate my mind with positivity. And when the world threw things at me that I couldn't take, and they want to beat you down, you're beat down by an abusive person or a bully. I had to deal with an actual serial bully, one of the worst in the nation, one of the worst in the world. And they tried to mold me. They tried to cut me. They tried to take my identity. They tried to make me into somebody I was not. But guess what? My mother had already saturated my mind on that I'm created to be who he created me to be. And she dedicated me to him before I was born. And any time anybody would say something to try to cut me down or make me feel bad about my self-esteem or feel bad about not doing what I was controlled to do, this would come back to my mind. This would come back. So that's a little bit about me right there. And this is overwhelming. The book was overwhelming. I put it out, and it just absolutely went to the moon. And then I had a director call and said, I saw your book. We want to do a Broadway play, and we want to do a movie about your book. And I said, well, there's one thing you have to do. You have to tell the spiritual side of my book. Well, Hollywood doesn't like that. I said, well, then you won't do the book. If you don't tell what God did for me and how I really got through this, then you won't do it. It has a spiritual side, and they're telling my real story and the story of how I got through. And that's it, Betsy. That's what I'm doing. I've been so blessed. I'm executive director for Five Chambers and the Women's Chamber. But I really owe every ounce of my credit to God, number one, and to my mother, to a loving mother that never did anything but love me unconditionally. She never once was harsh or said, you shouldn't have done that, you knew better than that, because I was raised and groomed to be a loving Christian person. I didn't know anything about this world. But this world came in with all the hype and the phoniness and the nothingness of the world, and that's how I see it today, as a nothingness. And then said, oh, you can't leave, you can't come out of this. And I said, oh, but I can, because I knew that with God nothing's impossible. And I was told, if I write the story, if I write the book, I'm signing my death certificate. Okay, well, it's in 204 countries. It's in 204 countries, and I know I'm surrounded by angels. I know my mother's love and her faith surrounds me everywhere I go, every day of my life. She's, I just can't say enough about it. I can't honor her enough. And that's my story up to now, Betsy.
Wow, I know the listeners are saying, shut up, Dr. Bessie. Let her go on. Because I'm telling you, everybody's mesmerized. I am, you know, like I said to you, Susan, we're not, just let God lead and guide. We're not planning anything, not saying anything. I told you, just let the Lord lead and guide you. And everybody certainly, I know, is intrigued with your life. But what I'm hearing and what I heard was a mother, and what I've been preaching since 1999, a mother can mold a child into whatever she wants that child to be.
Absolutely.
But God wants it to be or not. You know, there's mothers that are molding children, like you say, to live the world. There are mothers that are molding the children, dedicate the child back to God. That's why they say no matter what and where she goes, she'll always come back. You know, if you raise that child
in,
the right
in
way,
Proverbs tells you that if you train up a child and the way he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it. He'll come back to what that mother taught him.
That's what I tell mothers. So don't stop doing what you're supposed to do in loving ways, because God is not a liar and his word is true. So no matter what, it may not seem like it's coming back to you. You may think I'm never going to live to see it, but God's word is the truth. And that child or that mother, if it's the daughter aligning the mother, sometimes the daughter got to line the mother up, but it will come back. You keep praying and you believe God, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And that's the best advice I can give any mother. You got to go to God, because everybody's individualized. Now, your mother, I know, and I don't know your mother, but just from what I'm hearing from what you're saying, she walked on the faith line. I don't hear any doubt in what you're saying about your mother. It's like she never really, I know we all have the doubt we have to fight off, because all of us have that human side. But she'll not allow it to come out of her mouth. And that's the key element right
now.
No,
Betsy, it never came
out
of her mouth. If you can imagine that I was snatched away, I had no life. I was in something the very opposite of what she raised me to be and where she raised me to be. I was the opposite. And she never once scolded me. She loved me unconditionally, and she would keep saying, you just keep thinking in your mind good. She would preach good. All you think about is good. Do not think negative. Do not let a negative thought go through your mind. And she would tell me that. And she never once did anything but love me unconditionally. Unconditionally. It didn't matter what happened. The world, she tuned the world out. She changed the world
because
out. She loved me unconditionally.
She knew what she had put in you. She knew the seeds that she planted, and she knew that God's word was true, and she knew it would manifest.
And she stood on it. And she taught me as a child, Joshua 10, 12 through 15. I repeated that every day, where Joshua prayed and the sun stood still for a whole day. And I would say, Lord, you did that for Joshua. You can do this for me. You can bring me out of this. And he did bring me out of it. And I'm all over the nation. I'm all over the world speaking, but I'm speaking for God. That's what I'm speaking for. And this is, she cried. She cried one day and she said, this is what I prayed for and this is what I dedicated you to do before you were born. So even if your child or your mother is going through something, it's just the nothingness of life. You just keep loving them. You keep that positive energy no matter what. No matter what. You have positive things to say. You have loving things to say. And if I could tell the listeners one thing this morning, it's to love, 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 unconditional. Unconditional. There are no conditionals. I love you, but. No, there's no buts. You love unconditionally.
What?
Slow down. Get away from all negativity. My mother would not have a negative word in our conversation. And she would tell me, if you get away from all negativity, and you'll know the peace that passes all understanding. But she... her words and her love got me through a serial bully, through toxic abuse, through a no-way-out situation. And she built me up. Every word out of her mouth was to build me up, to build my self-esteem. Something so simple. Tell me, oh, you do this, and that looks really good because that's how God made you look. You don't change to look like everybody else. You don't change to be like everybody else. That's the fad. And I remember I was 4 years old, and I wanted to wear her pearl earrings that you screw on the back to church, to Sunday school. And she said, oh, you can't do that because they'll laugh at you. Little girls don't wear earrings to church. This was way back now. And I said, well, I don't care. I'm wearing this. This is what I want to look like. And she looked at me, and she said, and that's how God made you, and you can wear them. So I wore my little pearl earrings, hers, to church. And she always encouraged me to be me. Even if it was against something she thought, she didn't impose her thoughts on me. She encouraged me to be me. And she'd say, you have a good head, and God's guiding you. You don't have to ask me. You just do. God's guiding you. So you do what God's guiding you to do. You don't have to ask me. You don't have to have permission. I want you to be you. She said, I want you to be you. And that stays with me every day. And when I think sometimes, well, what are people going to say? And I can hear her saying, no, you be you. Because he created you that way for a purpose and a reason. He created you to be you. And there's a poem by Beth Moore, my mother, sent to me. One time, and it says, has anybody seen the life I planned? It seems it's been misplaced. I've looked and looked in every corner. It's gone without a trace. But then it tells how God brings you back, and all you went through was for a purpose. And Dr. Betsy, today I would not be the person I am today. And I'm a solid gold Christian. I'll say that before the world. I have a relationship with God. I know the spiritual realm that I would have never known had I not gone through what I went through. And not one time did she put me down. Not one time did she say, you knew better than to be around this kind of people. You knew better than to do this. Never one time. She loved me every day unconditional. And I don't care how bad things got, she would build me up. She would build me up and praise me.
I'm telling you, this is absolutely an awesome testimony. It's going to be on the website, and I'm going to direct people to go and listen to this whenever mothers and daughters come to me as my clients, because this is a real story. This is not something that we are thinking about the possibilities of. This is your life. But what I hear...
Dr. Betsy, this is a horror. I mean, the life that I was subjected to was a horror. It was a nightmare. And when my story came out, I had men and women from all over the world come to me, and some of them said, I'm still in that situation. I wish I could open my mouth and get out of it. I said, you can. God can bring you out of anything. So it opened up doors that I had. It opened up doors that let me know there was a reason I went through it. But could I have gone through it without my mother's love? I don't think I could.
Mm-hmm.
God gave me
a preparation. It's a preparation.
Pardon?
It's a preparation. What came up in my spirit?
I was mentally prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yes, certain people are sent here to do certain things. Like I tell people, they don't realize, and I don't try to explain this to people, I was sent here to and ordained to minister to mothers and daughters in their relationships. It doesn't matter what people think I was sent here for. We are sent for a purpose. Everybody has a purpose. You need to find your purpose, and you will find God inside of it. So your mother was like Mary, and I'm going to go that far just to say this so that people can get it. Mary, it says, you know, I don't know a man. The angel said, oh, yeah, but you're going to have this child, and you're going to call him Jesus. See, there are certain things someone told your mother. This child is coming for a purpose, and
absolutely,
you can only do these things.
Absolutely. She would remind me that 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells you that you are here as an ambassador for Christ. That's why you're here. And you're dedicated with authority over evil. And she would tell me loving things like that. She would say, but you have authority over these people. You have authority over evil. You have authority over this bully that's trying to sabotage your life. He can't sabotage your life because you have authority over him. Use it. Open your mouth and use it. I mean, she had me ready for the battle. If I had to think about it, I couldn't do it. But thoughts like that would come to me every time. Every time. And it was a spiritual war. And I tell them it was not anything but a spiritual war. The enemy wanted me because I was groomed to be such a loving Christian. The enemy wanted me. And my mother had already saturated my mind. He couldn't have me, and they could not control my mind. The shield.
I had a shield. In essence, you know, when I look at, and I just use myself, certainly I don't measure my life with yours. I can't. But we all have our valleys and our dry bones, and they're for a purpose. And I look back now at some of the people that have put stumbling blocks in my way or whatever, and now I say, thank you, because if you had not done that, I would not be able to do what I'm doing today. So there are things that happen in our life to make you greater, and you get a closer relationship with God. I tell people, if everything is going good, you got all the money and you have everything going your way, you wouldn't really think about God.
No.
Something dramatic has to happen in order for you to draw closer. And the harder it is, the closer you get to God. So I can imagine.
Absolutely, Betsy. When it was the darkest, it's like, how could I go from being in a perfect, loving home to being in a world of darkness that you can't get out of? How do you get there? And if my mind had not been paired, loving, when it was just so bad, I couldn't stand it. I couldn't take it another minute, what was thrown at me. I go back to some sweet, simple, loving thing my mother and I did. It might be picking flowers and making an arrangement. It might be sewing buttons on a blouse, updated. It might be hemming a skirt or rearranging something with our clothes. I mean, we were always doing. We might be going and picking out a pattern she loved to sew. And it might just be talking. It might be her just reading me a story before I went to bed every night.
Mm-hmm.
But she loved me. She loved me with all she had.
Mm-hmm.
And she loved her Lord with all she had. And she was not ashamed to say it. And she would tell me, Susan, you let the Lord handle that. And I would get so upset sometimes. I'd say, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. She said, no, you let the Lord handle that. He'll handle it.
And he did.
And he absolutely did. And she said she had prayed before I was born that I would be hope and encouragement to the world and that I would work for the Lord. Well, I went as far away from that as you can go.
Mm-hmm.
Full circle to exactly what she dedicated my life to be.
Mm-hmm.
And God brought me all the way back to what she dedicated me to be before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And Betsy, I would have never known about the miracle. You read it. I read it. I knew the scriptures. I know the scriptures back and forward. My mother kept me in church 5 nights a week. I said, "You're going to OD me on church, Mother." I know the scriptures, but I did not know the spiritual realm. I did not know the miracles that come from real, earnest prayer words. Simple words when you're close to God. Miracle after miracle after miracle. I thank God I had time to talk to my mother before she died, and I said, "Mother, this prayer stuff really works. I wish I had done this all my life."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "God had a reason for you to go through what you went through."
Mm-hmm.
Thank Him every day that you went through it, because it brought you to the person that you were created to be. And now you're the person you were created to be. So if that's what it took, I thank Him every day.
Mm. But you know what, Susan? When you look at the Bible, sometimes people say, moaning and complaining. I said, but if you look at the Bible, everybody in there, God picked the worst case scenarios. You can imagine all the wonderful things that happened. Come on. Out of all the
absolutely.
People.
Absolutely.
But you have to do in order for you to get it. Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you have to believe what your rights are. You have
mm-hmm.
to know what your rights and privileges over the
mm-hmm.
kingdom of darkness is. Nobody
mm-hmm.
can rob your identity. Nobody can rob your dignity. Nobody can rob your self-esteem. You're covered. If they can play with
mm-hmm.
your mind and try to bring you down to their level, that's one thing. But they were never able to break my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Never. And it was tried by the most ruthless on the face of this earth. Never once,
mm-hmm.
never once did I not believe a miracle right there. Never once did I not believe that some stranger was going to show up and get me out of whatever it was, and every time it happened. You have to believe, and you have to say it with your mouth, and you have the words out of your mouth are powerful. Don't talk negativity. Don't talk it. Don't
mm-hmm.
think it, and don't be it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a word for mothers and daughters today. Trust me.
It's a Hello? Word. It's I was honored to be on the World's Most Positive Thinkers Club. And
mm-hmm.
And Mr. Bosnick said, "You've got to be one of the most positive people that I've ever known."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, I didn't realize that. That's how my mother groomed me. She groomed me to be positive. And no matter what the world threw at me, she gave me, my mother put in my head and my heart and my soul something the world could not destroy."
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's my honor to her today. She put in my heart and my head and my soul something the world was not able to destroy, because they gave it their best shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I want to say this to the audience out here. When I met you, first of all, let me say, Dr. Brown, in fact, I should have called Dr. Brown and told him to get on this morning. I forgot. But anyway, I give thanks to Dr. Brown this morning. When he met me over the phone, him being introduced to me, and someone else introduced him to me, and he says, "I have someone I need you to meet." And the two of you are just going to hit it off. That's it. He knew from the beginning, you know? And this is how God is working right now. God is sending the most powerful people, and you being one of them, on our show today. He's sending some powerful people because He's lining up the mission. And all the players are coming to the table. And when I met you over the phone, I texted you back and said, "Thank you," because I felt like I was fed. You know, I'm
yeah.
always trying to be positive, and I'm always, you know, giving to my clients and everybody that I can, and this seemed like sometimes. But in order to keep giving, you have to be fed too. And when
yes,
the one thing that you said what I've been teaching for years, your words create.
Your
but
words
sometimes
create, absolutely.
Say it. It's just like the ministry that you did at that time. It took me to a different level, and I thank God for that. You know, I have a lot of people feeding into me, but that moment, I needed to hear just that. And, of course, we know where we are now, and it's just amazing. It's amazing what God is doing.
I was so close to my mother that I would call her every morning at 7 o'clock before I started my day. I wanted to hear her voice, and she wanted to hear mine.
Uh-huh.
And I could say, hello, and she'd say, what's wrong? She could tell by my first hello if I had a problem. Now, she did not baby me.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted me to be strong, but she fed me with love. She fed me with love. I don't care how dark things were. I don't care what was going on in this earth. It's the end of the world. It's the end of my life. No, she fed me love and comfort, and she fed me positive, wonderful energy, unconditional love and positive energy, unwavering faith. That's what she had, unwavering faith.
I don't know if I told you this or not, but our mission, I've been doing Mothers and Daughters since 1999, and it was, I think, 2011, somewhere along there, God said to me, do you want to know what I think about mother and daughter relationships? And I said, I'm walking on the floor. Well, God, yeah, I've been doing this for a long time. And he said, go to Ezekiel 16:44. Now, I never heard of this. Of course, I'm not a Bible scholar, and I tell people all the time, I'd rather read it to you than try to quote it because I may get it mixed up. I don't want to get that good.
Right.
At 16:44, Ezekiel says, as is the mother, comma, so is her daughter. He said, you will base your work on that. And we've been doing it ever since. And what I'm hearing, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Your mother now is transforming through you, and now you're giving it out to daughters. It doesn't have to be your biological daughter. We are accountable for daughters as mothers, especially when we get older. You know, we're now so fashionable. People don't want to give back. Oh, they want to be in the trend. But you can't go backwards. You have to be where you are, and we have to be the matriarchs for young daughters. And that go back to Titus. You know, we have to be the teachers of the daughters. And I hear that and see that, even though, you know, you got a movie coming out, you got a play coming out, the book is in, what, 202 countries? I mean, all these
countries. But listen, none of that measures up to my mother. My mother outshines it all. My mother is just, I cannot say enough about her. When I was 7 years old, I had a shot of penicillin suffer. I was deathly allergic to those. I was in the hospital. They told her, take me home. She's dying. She's not going to live. There's nothing we can do. I was in Emory University for 2 years. They said, she's dead. Take her home. Let her die at home. It's Thanksgiving. My mother said, get up, come home. You're well. You're well. I believed I was well. And my mother wouldn't tell me the story. She told me I'm well. I actually got up and for the first time walked in 2 years, and the doctor said, she can't be well. She's dying. Bring her back. Let's see what's wrong. She's dying. Well, no, I wasn't dying. I had a supernatural healing from my mother's prayers, and I haven't had an aspirin since I was 7 years old. I haven't had a headache, and I have not been sick. And I didn't appreciate that until now. At this age, and I'm not taking a sack full of medicine, my mind is strong. Because my mother and the good Lord kept my mind strong.
Well, you said one thing that I've been preaching since the beginning of my teachings with mothers and daughters. A mother can say one word and change a child's life. When your mother said, get up,
absolutely,
you believed her.
Listen, her
get
one
up.
Word got me out of a bed that I'd been in for 2 years, and then assuring her there was no way. I had holes in my kidneys. There was no way I could live. They didn't do kidney transplants back then. Or if they did, they didn't do them when I was. But I got up, no scar tissue. They could never tell I had been sick, and they said it's a medical miracle. They did a medical journal. There's no reason I live. They can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
A mother's words are the most powerful thing that will ever be in a child, good or bad.
There you go.
Good or bad.
There you go.
And I would never want to say something so harsh that would cripple a child for the rest of their life. Love should come out of your mouth, out of your words, and out of your thoughts. Love. Love outweighs it all.
I am so glad to have the interaction with you, because I see and we see the mission that God has put before us, and it's so amazing how God showed up. And we still haven't seen each other. It's amazing. But that's going to be short. I'm excited about that, but I was sitting just meditating, and the Spirit said, call Susan and ask Susan to be your guest for Mother's Day. And I thought, well, Lord, this is short notice. You know, well, it was yesterday, right, when I called you?
And you were yesterday late afternoon. And I thought, and then I had something going on with the movie till 4:30, 5 o'clock this morning, and I really didn't sleep, and I really did not prepare for a radio show. But I thought, you know what, it's in my head. If you're talking about my mother, I don't need to be prepared. I am prepared.
That's what we said last night. I said, you know, it's unscripted. We will do what the Lord has us to do, and we just have a general conversation. No one has clicked one, so we're going to end this thing. We have gone through this conversation about mothers. Everybody out there, I hope that you heard something. And the main thing is love, being honest, and just know that your words are so powerful. One word can make a difference. How many times have we seen a child come out of a low-income area and they go straight to the top? And a person said, well, how's that child coming out of that development of that community? It goes straight to the top. That mother said, you're different. That mother said, you can do whatever you want to do. I love you. You're not going to get out in the streets. And the mother that they are saying, I understand it, because, you know, I got many little spankings for my things that I did. My mother made sure that, this is not the way you're going to go. So the mother that's spanking the young man, you know, she's saying to him, are you crazy? She probably just snapped. Are you crazy? This is not what I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you to be loved, and you in the middle of this mess, I'm thinking you at home, and I come out here to find you dead. So, you know, we have to really be responsible for our children, and it's what we say that will dictate and govern, you know, the outcome to, I'd say, about 90% of our children. If you keep loving them, they may make a mistake. We all make mistakes, but they'll get back on track. You said you wanted to say
something so much that they were saying, well, how are you going through this? And you're not on tranquilizers. You don't take medication. You don't drink. You don't do drugs. And I said, all I have to do is go back to my mother's voice. All I have to do is go back to what she told me, and I'm fine.
Amen. All right, we have 60 seconds. You want to close it out, you said, with something?
Oh, I just wanted to say to the listeners, thank you so much for listening. You're such a blessing, Dr. Bessie. You're just blessed by God, and I'm so honored to know you, and I'm honored to be on the show with the listeners. And if I could encourage the listeners to do one thing, it's just love, love, love unconditional, your mothers and your daughters. Just don't let the little petty things disrupt your life. Just love. And like a child asleep in its mother's arms, put your trust in the Lord. That's it.
That's the best advice. I love you, Susan.
Thank you. I love you, too, and all the listeners. Thank you so much for having me on, Dr. Betsy.
Oh, all right. I'll talk to you later on. God bless you.
Thank
you. That's our show for today. Hold 1 minute. I'll be right back.
And happy Mother's Day.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. I thank Susan
I love you guys. Thank you for taking time out to listen to us today, and have a great Mother's Day. Give somebody a Mother's Day hug. All right? Bye-bye.